The Republican and Democratic conventions talked about very different economies. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Republican National Convention wrapped up last night. President Trump gave a 70-minute speech accepting the Republican nomination for a second term. At both the Democratic and Republican conventions, the economy figured prominently. Long story short, Republicans said Biden would do a terrible job guiding the economy. Democrats said Trump is doing a terrible job. Alan Rappaport is economic policy reporter at The New York Times and joins us from Washington. Good morning, Alan. What were the stories each party tried to tell about the economy?
Well, so the RNC last night, I mean, it was very much a story of, you know, American prosperity and putting President Trump at the center of that. It was very focused on sort of the pre-pandemic world and pre-pandemic America. And it sort of put him at the middle of that and as a painting him as the sole person who was capable of kind of bringing back the United States economy to those heights. The Democratic National Committee last week was very focused on this idea of building back better. It put the pandemic front and center and, you know, put a lot of blame on President Trump for that and for the economic fallout that we've seen for that, and, you know, made the case that Vice President Biden was the one who, you know, would be able to reinvest in America's economy primarily by getting the pandemic under control.
On the second night of the convention, the director of the United States National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, said President Trump inherited a stagnant economy on the front end of recession and said the economy was rebuilt in 3 years. Is that accurate?
There wasn't surging growth, you know, when it was delivered to President Trump when he took over, but there were several years of strong, steady growth. And he threw some, you know, fuel into that fire with the tax cuts and the deregulation. But I think, you know, if you look at the numbers, really, it's continued to be on the same trajectory that we saw in the final years of the Obama administration. And in fact, you know, in terms of President Trump's promises for economic growth, you know, they talked about sustained 3% economic growth for many years. He never really actually got there. So, you know, I think a bit of revisionist history going on when they talk about the Obama economy that they inherited.
Meanwhile, Democrats have laid the current economic conditions at the feet of the president. Is that fair?
Well, it's only fair in the sense that, you know, it's really a judgment on the president's handling of the pandemic. You know, I think Democrats would say that if we took more draconian measures and if President Trump took the pandemic more seriously earlier, then we would have gotten past you know, the point where we are now, and we'd have made more progress, and the economy would have made more progress. I think also, you know, there's a lot of questions about President Trump's handling of the economic relief measures and legislation. So, you know, I think in the sense that you have to, you know, put the handling of the pandemic on the president, you know, the economic fallout is his responsibility as well.
Alan Rappaport is economic policy reporter at The New York Times. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's do the numbers this morning. The FTSE in London is just about flat. Dow and S&P futures are up in the 2 to 3/10% range, with the Dow future up 91 points. NASDAQ futures down 2/10%, and the 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.744%. Blackouts in California point to an important reality. The entire U.S. has an old electric grid. In California, the infrastructure was built in the 1960s and 70s. Investments in grids were already falling, and COVID-19 has slowed down upgrades even further. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on what a grid of the future could look like.
Electricity is one of those things kind of like running water, where you only notice it's not there when it's not there. Mark Dyson works on the electricity team at the Rocky Mountain Institute, a low-carbon energy consultancy. He says any blackouts that people experience in California are due to a whole lot of things going wrong all at once.
It's very hot in the state, leading to near record levels of electricity demand. There's a historic heat wave affecting much of the western United States as a whole.
Typically, California imports electricity from other states on the western grid during peak periods. So this summer, that's not the solution. Brian Taroja is a researcher at the University of California, Irvine. He says the current grid was designed and built a long time ago, before climate change accelerated energy demand and wind and solar power were part of the energy mix.
Before the incorporation of all these renewables and other things, you know, you have the load profile and then you just turn power plants on and off to meet the load profile.
Some blamed California's adoption of renewable energy for triggering the blackouts. But Taroja says that's an oversimplification. The real culprit is a lack of integration of these renewables and getting all that power where it needs to go. He says another issue is that there's no incentive for utilities to update. They're inclined to change things when they have to.
If you're going to wait until a component fails or until a component is past its lifetime to replace it with something that's more amenable for, you know, carrying out this zero carbon energy transition or something, it's going to take really long.
Resilience to heat waves and rolling blackouts matter, but more of the grid of the future conversation is about resilience to high impact, low frequency events. Think hurricanes and floods, even cybersecurity breaches. That's what Kate Davis studies at Texas A&M University.
It's looking at how do you design the grid of the future and what changes would need to be made.
She says design and storage is the next challenge. California is building huge lithium-ion battery fields, but even the best batteries can only store a few hours worth of power at a time, so a lot gets wasted. So the grid of the future is really just that, until engineers and utilities make it profitable to provide seamless service regardless of the weather. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Brian Allison and Jay Siebold. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.